Well, second time in a week, BlackBerry's been having trouble with emails. So if you have BlackBerry smartphones and you're having some problems with your emails, they've got a network problem once again. We're going to take your phone calls now this hour with Miriam when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. As the calls pile up for you, Miriam, let's talk a little bit about the indigenous tribes' relationships with the so-called star beings. Do you find that to be similar to in all these cultures?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The star beings are very well known throughout the indigenous community, and they are very aware of the fact that how they came to be in this world, how we as human beings came to life. And again, this is one of those things that the indigenous communities have been slowly releasing over, you know, the course of the last 40 or 50 years. Little snippets have been filtering back out. I know, George, that a lot of the people out there were hoping that I was going to come out and talk all about these intricate details and talk about the prophecies and tell them all about it. But, you know, the fact is that we have to wait for these true traditional people to come forward. And I know one thing for certain, and that is that they are getting close to that point. We need to give them the opportunity to speak, and that when they come forward, that they will be speaking about the star family and the star nations. They will be talking about extraterrestrials. They will be sharing that information. And when they do, it's going to be up to us whether or not we're able to accept that or not. But they've already had a lot of hardship as it is, and we don't need to be giving them any more in that regard. So the star family stories that they have are actually identical also in respect to how the star beings have come to them in the past, have taught them the spiritual ways of this world that have... there's different stories, and if you sit and you're able to actually listen to them, they're identical in the sense that, yes, they know that we were created by them. Yes, they were our spiritual guides, and they still are. And that, yes, they are part of the interdimensional world that coexists around us, that, to be quite honest, not everyone is going to be able to comprehend or understand, and that's okay. But they will be coming forward and speaking about the star beings. And I hope to actually be able to share some of that information with the people that come to the Great Gathering site from these different indigenous tribes when they do start talking about the star beings.
Super. To the phones we go now. We'll pick it up by going to Mike in Butte, Montana, west of the Rockies. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, hello, George. Hello. Hi. Hello, ma'am. I wanted to ask you if you've, you know, I know you don't want to go into the specific prophecies, but I heard of a prophecy, they called it the spider webs in the sky, and people thought that was phone lines and power lines at first, but I was wondering if maybe that didn't have to do with the cross-hatching of the contrails.
Yeah, good possibility. What do you think of that, Miriam?
I believe that it is up to interpretation of all of us to be able to come through. I know that is not a clear answer because I can't tell you what the Hopi, for example, that particular prophecy means to them. I have heard certain Hopis say that it actually was airplanes and not chemtrails, that it's the airplanes in the sky and not chemtrails. There's a difference between those two things. So there's a lot of different ways to look at that. I believe that it's airplanes, not phone lines and not chemtrails. It's the airplanes crossing in the sky.
Okay, next up we go to Janice. Let's see. Nope, we're going to Bill in San Diego. You're up with us. Go ahead, Bill.
Hello.
Bill, you with us? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yes. I'm calling. I wanted to clarify that I am a member of the Hopi tribe.
All right, good.
And I wanted to make a comment regarding Miriam's comments about the Kachinas. And wanted to explain to you that the basic definition of a Kachina is, as most Native Americans believe, that most things have spirits on this earth. Yeah, that's what the Katina is. Mm. It means the spirit. And well, so, and then the other comment regarding the Katina as our God is not entirely correct. It is partially correct.
Mm-hmm.
When we have our social dances in the plazas, that's where you'll see the Katina that represents spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are deity Katinas as well, but those Katinas will never present themselves in a society dance.
Bill, I would just like to thank you for coming onto the program and clarifying that, because the understanding...
I want our callers to be able to understand a little bit more and to have a little bit of clarity. And I was not raised traditional, but I have those beliefs in my heart and have walked my path in that light as best as I could.
All right, very good. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go to Chris in Ohio on the wild card line. Chris, go ahead.
Yes, I'm one of those people that has missing time back years ago, and I've been saying to my friends a lot of things that she said is the spiritual change, not the end of the world in 2012. And my question is, being an Indian background, my family, DNA change there, do you think there's a message that maybe been implanted in my subconscious is there that I'm not aware of? And a lot of us like that, that have been picked up with this missing time?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. I don't even have a question about that. That is absolutely what it is, because a lot of people that have had missing time or have been picked up, and a lot, and people who have had, who have this indigenous background, they have this special DNA within them, meaning the DNA is already activated. It doesn't mean that the rest of humanity doesn't have it. It means that it's active. It's alive.
Okay.
And within that DNA, there are messages to us in, it's like saying, this is how we're going to conduct ourselves while we're living on the planet. It gives us a code of ethics.
I've thought about going into hypnosis and see if that message was there. Do you think that would help?
I have a word of caution about going into hypnosis, and
yes.
I would say that it is a very powerful tool that can be used to bring back memories. The question you need to ask yourself is, are you prepared for the answers that you will find once you go there? Because if you have that missing time, and it could be a very frightening experience that you will have had, because it was something so out of the ordinary.
I was with a person who had been picked up several times before, which scared me, and they never told me until years later. So that's, you know,
well,
I was out on a date, you know, so, you know. And we talked about it here not recently and said, well, she's out on the mountain on top, Colorado, and said, if they want to come see me, I'm here, you know.
Well, you know, this is the thing. This is one of the most fascinating parts is that we who have had experiences tend to gravitate towards one another.
Dreams of speaking to a creator or something out there in the universe, and little messages here and there, and I'm afraid to go any farther.
Well,
but all good, you know, all good.
If you have that native background
mm-hmm.
within you, then my advice to you is to find your own, going back to your own traditional storytelling and get some of those stories from your traditional elders. I actually had an experience with that with an individual in the Navajo community who heard me on Coast, actually, George, last time I was on,
mm-hmm.
and then went to a number of different, he started asking his elders because he thought, my gosh, this sounds so close to the stories that he had heard as a child from his elders. And he quickly came to realize that many of the things that I was sharing with him were identical, and the elders actually shared even more information with him because he was awakening to remembering who he actually was. And so because you have that, have you spoken to any of your traditional elders, or do you even know how to contact them?
That's important too, isn't it?
It's extremely important.
Next up, Janice in San Jose, California. Go ahead, Janice.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
This question is for Miriam. You had mentioned that the Hopi and the people in Western culture and other cultures need to come together and compromise with each other. What would the Hopi be expected to compromise on? Because I'm very skeptical about having the indigenous people having to compromise on really anything, because they've been around for thousands of years and they seem to know what they're doing. So what would they be expected to compromise on? Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad she asked that question so that I can clarify that a bit. And this is what happens. We have to use the English language that doesn't always communicate perfectly. The compromise isn't necessarily a compromise. It's a coming together. It's finding the balance between the two worlds. The compromise is not, let's remove that word, and I apologize if I use that specific word, because that's not what my intention or focus was. What needs to happen is that the people from the traditional world need to, you know, come forward in whatever terms they lay out for us, and be able to speak to us with whatever terms they choose, because it is their world. But we need to meet them halfway with the level of respect that we can give them, and with an understanding of the knowledge that they choose to share with us. And we need to be respectful in being able to listen to those messages. It's not a compromise. We need to come together. And we need to bring those two worlds together and find that balance between the two of them. They need to, you know, I would say that we need to continue on our path. They need to continue on theirs, because I can't go and live in their world. I'm a white and I'm a woman, and I have never been indoctrinated into any of that type of a society. We need to find the balance between the two of them is what we need to do. And I know that many indigenous cultures around the world are looking for different ways to be able to come out and speak to the world right now, such as the sacred people in Colombia, the Kogi and the Mamos in the Sierra Nevada that I'm going to see next month. They're looking for ways to be able to communicate with us. So I don't think it's a compromise. I think it's we need to meet them halfway, because they're starting to come and try and talk to us, and we need to be respectful of what they're saying.
Did you ever investigate the ant people and what that exactly was, what they meant by those creatures?
There is no question that the ant people were the ETs.
Yeah. That were underground, maybe?
There are different ET bases even right now that are under the earth, all over the planet. And I know of one in particular that is in the Four Corners area, and I'm not going to say its exact location, and it is not Dulce. It is in another area, and I've never said that publicly. But there is another area that is close to there where there is an actual underground base, and they're still currently residing there.
Now
that's my information, not from anyone else. That's my information.
This date of December 21st, 2012, in your opinion, though you say, you know, it's not the end of the world, are we going to continue to see signs leading up to that time period of something marvelous happening?
Yes. As you stated yourself, George, that we're all feeling this, you mm-hmm. know, it's like a stirring inside of ourselves that many people don't even understand. We are going through this transitional time with our DNA and our, you know, perceptions, and, you know, more and more people are being able to see ghosts, for example, and having psychic abilities and synchronicities happening and this type of thing. 2012 and leading up to that, the date does have significance. It's not as though it doesn't. The date is significant because, as people have already talked about in the past, with the rotation of the actual universe itself and the lining up of the planets, and the solar flares are going to continue to increase, and the electrical energy that's coming from the other side of the universe is beginning to come to us at this point and filter down onto the Earth, George. And this is where it gets into the bit of the scientific area of it. It's affecting our electrical bodies. And so it's charging our brains and sending extra impulses, which in turn is beginning to wake us up to other areas of spiritualism, of understanding, comprehension. Our DNA is awakening, so we're physically changing as human beings also. And the solar flares are going to increase, the volcanic eruptions are going to increase, and the earthquakes are going to increase. Those three things are definitely going to be happening. But we're already seeing that, so we don't need to panic. We just need to know that there is a very good chance that we are going to continue to see the same level that we've been at already, and we just need to prepare ourselves physically for that change. Is that clear, George?
Yeah, and you're right. We are seeing these activities now.
And these prophecies are talking about this. This is another thing. The Hopi have clearly told me that the reason that they go into the kivas to do this amazing ceremony that they're currently in is to show the respect towards one another and to show that the reason that they're doing it is to hold the balance of everything. And we as outsiders, on basically, if you're a human being, you're here, we're doing it together. We're creating our future. So if we want to talk about 2012 and the destruction of the Earth, it's great fun to talk about that. And it's great fun to talk about all of these scientific pieces of information. And there's many people who want to hear that kind of information. But the fact is, when you take that all and break it down and put it at the very, very base, we are human beings, George, and we need to smarten up. And that's what these prophecies in the biblical terms, in the indigenous world, and in the ET world, they are all identical.
Does it bother you when you see what Hollywood does with some of these prophecies?
Oh, it's very upsetting to me. Because it, and this is also very upsetting to Hopi. I do know this, because the traditional leaders look at 2012 and they think, are we, you know, these tribes, the Mayans, are saying, are we responsible for this? We sent this message out. You see, that's why they haven't come forward. We sent this message out, but the message was supposed to be about this beautiful transition. And the Hopi have said to me very clearly, the prophecy is not about the end of the world. It is about this beautiful world on the other side, on the other side of this transition that we're walking through.
Well, they seem to have a good perspective of the future, huh?
Yes, they do. And I'm sorry I'm not able to follow through to give people doom and gloom. I can't do it.
We always need that. Stay with us. We're going to be right back with final phone calls with Miriam Delicato on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, Lauren Coleman joins us as we talk about the top 10 crypto stories in 2009. Fascinating work there. When we come back, though, we'll take final phone calls with Miriam Delicato on Coast to Coast AM. Where I have to compliment you on your work. Fascinating, fascinating discussion.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
George, I know that the Hopi haven't come forward, and that, you know, it's just a matter of time before they do. And I really know that I know these people. I know the Hopi are, you know, trying to do to stay as close to their ceremonies as they can in this world, and as close to the original sacred ways as they possibly can. And we need to respect that. And that means that respecting my message also, in the sense that we as outsiders have no right to talk about their prophecies and to make determinations as to whether or not their prophecies have come to pass and what they mean. And so, you know, this is the reason that I came on to the program. Was to try and clarify that, because 2012 is not, and I can say this, that 2012 is not the doomsday that they have built up in mainstream society. And as we move into this very special time that we're in, it's even more critical that we remain respectful towards one another. Because the more we can respect the Hopi, the more possibility it is for them to come forward and speak to us and really share their prophecies with us.
Well, you know, a lot of people, Mary, may be let down on December 21st, 2012. The day will come and go. Nothing will probably happen. And they'll go, what? That was it?
Right. And then what are we going to do, George?
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Then what will we do? We'll all be in the same situation. But we will not have changed anything. And this is the most fascinating part of this entire experience for me, is that the prophecies that the ETs gave me about how we were going to move into this time where people were going to start losing their minds, they told me that. They said people are going to start to go a little bit crazy because they're not going to be able to deal with the different energy that their bodies are having to deal with because of the solar flares and the universal energy that's being bombarded onto the planet right now, mm-hmm. to our electrical systems. They told me about that in 88. And then as I started to see this buildup of this happening, it becomes very interesting. And they told me that these different people, very special people, meaning the indigenous, were going to begin to come together, and that they knew when they'd already been given signs that of when to come forward, and that is happening. They told me that we were going to move into what's called the time of choice for humanity, and we are moving into that. A lot of these messages that were given to me 22 years ago have all begun to either have happened or are happening right now. So I see no reason why that isn't going to continue. And if it continues, what I know will take place is that those people who really do have good intention for humanity and the Earth, and the star seed people that are out there, the star family, like myself, are going to come together and rally in order to support the indigenous in whatever way and on whatever terms they choose. And we will be respectful of that, but we will come together without this ego that takes place. And it will not be to make, to sell an event or to make a name for ourselves. Because so many people out there, George, are working towards the same goal of this great gathering. And all of them are starting to come together now with this massive network. And that includes the indigenous. And I'm not sure how much your listeners are aware of that movement, of the indigenous community and what is actually taking place with them right now.
Probably not a lot, you know, unless, you know, someone like you comes on the program to talk about it.
Because what is happening right now is that for many of them that, as I say, have managed to remember these prophecies that were given to them, and they're all going to have slightly different languages to how they express or explain this, using the language that most people will understand out there, the prophecies. And because most of those prophecies have been fulfilled for many of these ancient people around the planet, they are coming forward and saying, now it's time to speak to the world because we're at the last phase before it's too late to change the course that humanity is on. All you need to do is say, right, okay, we've got pollution, we have political problems, we have financial problems, we have... you know, we have spiritual problems, and those need to be addressed, but we need to do it one step at a time, and that the first step is to respect one another for our own views and opinions, and to be able to begin a dialogue around the Earth, because it's the dialogue that allows people to learn about the different cultures and the different prophecies and the different religions, and that's what this great gathering is about. Is about all of that. The indigenous community is actually has been for the last few years been communicating with one another in very secret meetings and moving more and more and more public all the time. And I know that there is another gathering that is being planned in Guatemala for next year. I'm not sure of any of the details, but there is another gathering of these indigenous people being planned in Guatemala, and it's significant to the world. And if we can give them the opportunity and the space to be able to come to us and say, this is what we want to share with you, we need to open the door. And that's the halfway point. We need to open the door to them because they're coming towards us. And they do have sacred knowledge. And that's what the sacred knowledge actually is. It's about how to live with the earth. Because their words are very powerful, much more powerful than mine could ever be.
Absolutely. Okay, let's take some final calls. Let's go to Homer, Alaska. David, you're up on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, David.
Hi, George and Miriam. Miriam, the elders, the sacred knowledge that they have of the rituals and ceremonies and prophecies, are they going to be able to hand that down to the next generation of Hopis, or is this going to die out with them?
Oh, my goodness, that's a beautiful question. Thank you. You know, I'm going to say this for all Indigenous people and not just for Hopi. There is a struggle going on to be able to maintain their sacred ways and their traditional ways and the ceremonies and passing them on, absolutely, because of the outside influences. And unfortunately, what has happened is they got kind of had a lot of the language taken away from them that is so critical to the ceremonial way in many tribes. And they still have very, very strongly maintained in Hopi is the Hopi language. And the Hopi language in itself is very intricate, and it's on different levels. For example, there's daily life, there's the Kiva life, there's the ceremonial language, there's different levels of this language that they have. I don't believe that it's going to die out in this generation, no, because they are still doing their ceremonies in one of the mesas in particular, Second Mesa, who has a very strong connection to those ceremonies. So I don't believe that it's going to die out in this. That's my outsider opinion, absolutely not. But it is something to be aware of because sacred knowledge, what is sacred knowledge? And who has a right to this knowledge? Sacred knowledge is just simply the voice of an elder speaking. That's sacred knowledge. Whatever it is that they choose to share, that is the sacred knowledge. But the ceremonies themselves need to be passed down within these cultures themselves because it takes much more than a year or two or three of living with a particular culture to truly understand it. It takes a lifetime. So it needs to be maintained in those particular societies. And with those indigenous groups around the world. And that's why if for example, the Kogi of the Sierra Nevada are trying to buy the land on the mountain to save it from being industrialized, we need to find a way to try and support that or to find a way to stop the industrialization of that particular area.
Okay, let's go now to Carson City, Nevada. Margo, west of the Rockies. Hey, Margo.
Hello, George. Hello, Miriam. My goodness. I had a dream about, 8 years ago, about a buffalo shaman coming down a trail, and he was obviously coming from a private ceremony, and he was just as shocked as I was to see him on that trail, and he was very fierce, and it just brought home to me everything you're saying about the dualism and the industrial needing to meet the native traditions and the indigenous traditions and meeting them halfway. And it really, this whole program has brought that home and reminded me of this. And the date of December 21st, 2012 equals 2 in numerology, which is dualism, and it's also secret knowledge. And so the passing of that may not die out with the indigenous people if we are willing to meet them halfway and more than halfway and accept and understand them and create something new and pass through this gateway. We've been given opportunities before and not recognized them and not done much about it. And
bless you both for having this program tonight. I'm going to get off the line so the other people can talk a bit. Thank you for sharing that.
Next up, we go to Sean, also in Nevada. You're up with us. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, I was just wondering exactly. Hi, George, and hi, Marion. I just want to know exactly who these ETs are that you're talking about. It sounds to me, from some of the research I've done, that you're talking about Pleiadians, but I just want to know exactly who you're talking about here.
Fair enough.
I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
The ETs that I have contact with, I get this asked this all the time, the original ones that I had contact with on board the craft in 88, I can't tell you exactly what group they're from. But here's what I can tell you, is that I've had contact with, if I take a look, I've never been physically told by any particular group, we are from this particular group, the Andromedan, the Pleiadian, the Sirian, the Orions, the this, the that, and the list goes on. But what I can say is that they are from all of these groups. I've had contact from all of them because they're all very similar to one another. The messages are similar to one another. And some of them are interdimensional. Some of them are on different planets. Some of them are here on the Earth. And some of them have traveled from other planets to come here to reside on this Earth under the Earth itself in massive caves and under the waters that we have here under the oceans. And so the main group that I associate with are who I call the tall blondes, and I believe that they are in the hierarchy, that they are one of the groups that has the ability to actually travel between all of these different dimensions and planet systems. Because you're getting into something that's very scientific now, that people have a very difficult time wrapping their heads around how this can happen with the light energy and the molecules and how they travel through light to be able to go from point A to point B. This light system is also one of the ways that they're able to travel from the interdimensionally to come into our dimension, which is why you might see the appearance of a craft and then poof, it disappears, because it's working on a light frequency, which is a little bit more advanced than most people are able to understand. And it's difficult to explain for me because I don't have the, quote, scientific language of this world.
Okay, next up we go to Milwaukee. Gerald, take it away. Hi, Gerald.
Yes, good morning. My question is, if we as an individual, as an outsider, wish to go to the Hopi and meet them and talk with them and learn, how would we meet them? How would we address them? How would we be respectful of them and let them know that we were sincere in our search?
Good question.
Excellent question. Excellent question for any indigenous tribe. You walk up to them and you go to their area. For example, in Hopi, there's the Hopi Cultural Center. Lovely place. Got a hotel there. Please book ahead because it's very small and there's nothing else in the area. So go ahead and make your time there and just sit quietly and talk to people. Go into some of the shops that they have. Talk about their jewelry. Talk about the different symbols that they have. And just basically start a dialogue. You can't walk up to them and start questioning them about prophecies and expect them to answer your questions. But you really can learn a lot about Hopi just by going and having a conversation. And with any tribe out there, that's what I would suggest. And it's through that dialogue that we are going to be able to make a transition in this world and that we're going to be able to find that bridge between the indigenous world and the industrialized world. Which is what the Great Gathering is really about. It's about all of us having a dialogue from around the world, which is where we're headed with the whole movement and the website. We're already doing it. We're already doing it. Everyone is.
We've got Mary in Salt Lake City. Mary, a couple minutes to go. Go ahead.
Hi. I have always dreamed that I was an Indian. I know this sounds ridiculous, but I even sleep outside in the summer in a tent. And my husband hears me speak a different language at night. I have knowledge of things and places to go. I told him 8 years ago we needed to move to the Four Corners area, things like this. And I'm wondering if reincarnation, is this possible?
Absolutely. Reincarnation is part of our process in the entire spectrum of life itself. And reincarnation is something that is a little bit complex because part of your spirit can incorporate itself back into a body, or the whole soul that was in the last life could choose to return in this life. So you could very well have memories of the last physical body that you resided in on this earth or elsewhere, which for someone like myself, I have glimpses of another life on another planet. And so this is a very much a reality for many, many people because they have these snippets or actually a great deal of remembering of these other lives.
You know, some people just want to pick up and go and move and just head west.
Yeah. Let's go.
Would you ever live with the Hopis if you had to?
Yes.
You would?
Yes. I've spent a fair amount of time there. I've spent a fair amount of time there. And I would live there in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. You wouldn't miss a big city or anything like that?
No. There is something about that area that if you can open your heart up, George, you know, now I'm going to interview you. Have you ever been to Hopi, George?
I have not.
Well, I would.
That's why I put you on.
Well, dear, I think that you should have a trip to Hopi and meet some of the elders, and maybe we can work on that.
And talk them into getting on the program. Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, where do you get this book?
On my website at bluestarprophecy.com. It's available there, and anyone that picks it up from me, I'll be more than happy to sign it for them also. And I hope that they'll be able to check out the greatgathering.org site. And note that it will be a process of growing and expanding on that site. So we're really going to ask people to watch that over the next couple of months. And we're going to give you information and step-by-step of how to make it happen and how to actually contact the indigenous people in your area to be respectful with them and
Super.
How to respect them.
Miriam, you have a great holiday, and thank you for the information.
Thank you very much, George. It's been a pleasure.
When we come back, Lauren Coleman joins us as we talk about the top 10 crypto stories of 2009.